present Galahad at Blandings by P.G. Woodhouse, adapted for radio in four parts by Richard Usborne, with Richard Vernon as Lord Emsworth and Ian Carmichael as the Honourable Galahad Threepwood. Episode 4, Houdini Galahad. A sharp crisis is looming at Blandings Castle. Lord Emsworth had told his sister Hermione that Tipton Plimsoll, the young American multimillionaire engaged to her daughter Veronica, had lost his whole fortune in the recent Wall Street crash. So Lady Hermione had felt it her duty to make Veronica write to Tipton, cancelling the engagement. But, as usual, Lord Emsworth had got it all wrong. Tipton hadn't lost his money. Fortunately, Galahad had intercepted Veronica's letter and hidden it away in a drawer. But, as ill luck would have it, Lord Emsworth's new secretary, Sandy Callender, found it and passed it on to Tipton, much to the dismay of Galahad.
Death, damnation, and despair. Oh. She's probably reading it for the 10th time now.
Oh, Gally, I'm sorry. Oh, what a mess. He'll tear the letter up, climb into his rolls, and disappear over the horizon forever.
Yes, this calls for drastic measures, and fast.
What can you do?
I can and must get hold of Tipton and spin some yarn to convince him that there is nothing in that letter to cause him alarm.
Oh, if you can do that, you're a genius.
Yeah, well, we know that already, Sandy. I'll go and find Tipton now. You say he was in the library? No need, here he is. Come in, Tipton, we were just talking about you.
Galley, the very man I was looking for. You know what's happened?
That letter? Yes, Sandy told me she'd given it to you. Mm. I haven't read it, but I know about its contents. May I look at it?
Well, all right.
Ah, yes. Yes, as I suspected. An obvious fake.
You mean it's a forgery?
Well, not exactly. The hand is the hand of Veronica, but the voice is the voice of her blasted mother.
You mean Lady Hermione made V write?
Well, of course she did. It's 6 out of a mile. My sister went up to London and probably stood over the girl with a horsewhip. Sift the evidence, Tipton. On the second page, that phrase, incompatibility of temperament. Do you suppose that half-witted girl... I'm sorry for the word half-witted.
Don't apologise, Gally. Tipton likes her that way, he told me.
So do I. So do we all. It's what endears her to everyone. If a girl as beautiful as Veronica had brains, the mixture would be too rich. Where was I?
You broke off on the word half-witted. You were discoursing about forgery and incompatibility of temperament.
Ah, yes. Well, what I was going to say is that it is unbelievable that Veronica not only knows what incompatibility of temperament is, but is able to spell it. And another thing, Tipton, mark how wobbly the writing is. See that blotch that looks as if a wet fly had marched across the paper?
Yes.
An obvious teardrop. Oh. Now, what we have here, in short, is a communique from a girl whose heart is breaking, but all her life has done what Mother told her to. Ignore this letter, is my advice to you, Tipton, my boy. Wash it completely from your mind.
But it doesn't make sense.
What doesn't?
Her mother twisting V's arm to make her write the thing. Lady Hermione was tickled to death when we got engaged.
Ah, but that was before you started going about New York making simple-minded old English earls think that you'd lost all your money. Hmm? Hermione heard it from our brother, Clarence, and it radically altered her view of your desirability as a son-in-law. I have no doubt that Veronica loves you for yourself alone, but Hermione doesn't.
Then you think...
That Veronica's sentiments towards you have not changed? I'm sure of it. I am vastly mistaken if you are not still the cream in Veronica's coffee and the salt in her stew, as the song says. Go and phone her in London now and coo to her, and see if she doesn't coo right back. There's a telephone in the library.
I sure will.
So now I know what you call spinning a yarn.
A very minor effort of mine, young Sandy. You should have heard me in my prime.
But what happens if he gets her on the phone and she says she doesn't love him?
She won't. I can't imagine any niece of mine not loving someone as rich as Tipton. Anyway, they're soulmates. She has about as much brain as a retarded billiard ball, and he approximately the same. It's the ideal union. And I'm gratified that I have been able to do my best to push it along. Curious what a glow it gives one to see the young folk getting together. Which reminds me, I want to see Tipton about Wilfred Orsop.
What about him?
He's lost his job. Given the chop by that Dame Daphne woman. He was going to teach music to the girls at her school. I'm hoping to persuade Tipton to find something else for him.
Oh, he won't resist when you start spinning the yarn. You ought to have been a confidence man, Galley.
So others have told me. I've always had the ability to touch the human heart. Why, in my early days, when I was at the top of my form, I have sometimes made bookmakers cry.
Fortunately, Tipton's telephone call to Veronica was highly satisfactory, and she told him to pack a bag and come and join her. They'd tie a can to the idea of a big county wedding and go round to the nearest registry office instead. And it was in the drive that Galahad caught up with Tipton, standing by his rolls with a big grin on his face.
Hello, Galley. I'm just off to London.
To see the little woman?
That's right.
I guess you found Veronica in genial mood.
You betcha. And I'm taking Willie Allsop with me to be our witness at the registrar's. He'll be down in a few minutes with his things.
Well, before he arrives, I'd like to have a word with you about Wilfred. You know he's lost his job.
You mean that Winkworth dame isn't going to employ him to teach music to her girls?
Exactly. It appears that that blasted little son of hers convinced her that he was an alcoholic.
Oh, damn.
Wilfred had gone to the sty to propose marriage to Monica Simmons, and he was giving himself Dutch courage from your flask, as you had recommended.
And that loathsome boy Huxley saw him?
Indeed. Huxley had gone to the sty in pursuance of his evil purpose of releasing the Empress for a few quick canters round the paddock. Foiled in this, he reported Wilfred to his mother for drinking.
And she's strongly opposed to anyone hoisting a few.
Yes, and she sacked Wilfred before the job had even begun.
So what's Willie going to do now?
Precisely what I came to see you about. I thought that you might come to the rescue and find him something. You control a number of lucrative businesses, don't you?
Yes, I guess I do.
Such as?
Well, there's Tipton Stores.
What could he do there?
Only go around in white overalls telling customers where to find the fresh fish department.
You can't think of anything better?
There's the ranch Uncle Chet left me in Arizona. Can you see Willie as a cowboy?
Not vividly. But didn't your uncle own a music publishing concern in London? I seem to remember someone telling me something about it.
Good Lord, I'd quite forgotten about that. Sure he did. Aunt Betsy used to write songs, and the only way she could get them published was for him to buy a firm of publishers. Cost him a couple of million. But Uncle Chet said it was worth it just to keep harmony in the home.
And that's where Wilfred finds his niche. Unless you have any objections.
No kick from me. A guy who can play the piano like Willie can't go wrong in the music business. I'll see to it directly I hit London.
Excellent. Be large-minded when you're fixing his salary. Don't forget he wants to get married. And an idea strikes me. You're taking Wilfred to London. Why not take Monica Simmers with you and make it a double wedding?
I thought of that. But Wilfred agrees with Monica that she can't leave the Empress's side until Lord Emsworth has found a replacement for her.
Ah, there's loyalty for you.
But then she'll bolt up to London and sweep Willie off to the altar.
Good. Well, now that's settled, I am conscious of that parched feeling that comes over one at this time of the evening. I will leave you with, I may say, my best wishes and heartiest congratulations and all that applesauce. Uncle, my marriage is blessings on you, Tipton, if you care to have it. The fish slice will follow.
Gee, Galley, thanks a million.
The drawing room was empty, the cocktails set out, and Galahad had one from the tray, for purely medicinal reasons, of course. And he took another one with him to sharpen his mind for the problem of Sam and Sandy and the money they needed to have the repairs done to the big country house that Sam's father had left him, and which Ufi Prosser would then be prepared to buy. A few minutes later, Galahad returned to find Sandy with Sam in her den off the library. He had a solution to their problem.
Have you thought of touching my brother Clarence for a loan? He's the member of the family with money to spare. And Sam, as someone who, in the guise of Augustus Whipple, gave him the news that his adored pig had not developed swine fever, you stand high in his esteem. He loves you like a son.
You're not seriously proposing we try to touch Lord Emsworth for the money?
I dislike the word try. It suggests lack of confidence in my powers. And you need a margin. Make it 2,500.
Well, I still don't like the idea of cadging money from your brother.
Look, I'll do the cadging. Leave the negotiations to me.
Sam, darling, It will only be a loan. You'll pay it back as soon as you sell Great Swiss.
Well...
Not another word. Cross your fingers. I shall return shortly.
Where do you think he's gone?
You never know with Galley.
Perhaps he thought we'd like to be alone.
And how right he is. Oh, Sandy!
Oh, Sam!
And a quarter of an hour later, when Gally returned, they were still entwined.
Sorry to keep waiting.
Quite all right. We found lots to do.
You build?
Oh, and cood. Shall I tell you, Gally? Sam's a lamb.
I dare say. But that apart, you are probably wondering why I left you so abruptly. I went to find that blot on the body politic, Huxley Winkworth.
Oh, what on earth for?
Well, we had a long talk about letting the Empress out of her sty. It is, as you may know, the young thug's dearest wish to do this and see what happens. But every time he's tried, he's been foiled by the vigilance of Monica Simmons, the pig's guardian.
Good old Monica.
So I put it to young Huxley squarely. Now, I said, was his moment. Monica Simmons has gone to the dentist in Blanding's Parlour, I happen to know. The coast is clear. Grasp this opportunity, I said, for it will never come again. Huxley was all for it. It would take him 15 minutes to finish whatever he was doing, arranging his stamps, I think. And there we are.
You'll probably take a low view of my intelligence, Gally. But how do you mean, there we are?
Don't tell me you haven't got it. I bet Sandy has.
Of course. Sam lurks in that shed near the sty, and when Huxley sneaks up on his wicked errand, Sam pops out and grabs him. He takes him by the ear to Lord Emsworth, who now is so grateful that he can deny him nothing. Right, Gally?
To the last drop. And then you ask him to lend you 2,500.
I'm sorry, I can't do it.
What?
Oh, of course you can, my pet. Oh, think what it means to us.
Yes, I know, but...
Oh, Sam. Sammy. Samuel, darling. Oh, for my sake. For the woman you love.
Oh, all right.
Oh, that's my brave little man.
But I do it under protest.
Nicely timed. He'll just get to the sty before Huxley does. But I still see a major danger ahead. Butler Beach.
Why Beach?
I'm sure Beach has not believed my story of Sam being the great pig expert Whipple. He's on to us.
Oh, you mean he's sure it was Sam who ran off with his watch and pinched Constable Evans's bicycle?
And gave him a black eye? Yes.
Even as Galahad spoke, there appeared the man himself, Beach. And Galahad's analysis was correct.
Excuse me, Mr. Galahad, but Constable Evans and Constable Morgan are anxious to interview Mr. Whipple. They are waiting in my pantry.
You mean they're back?
Yes, sir.
You amaze me. I thought we'd seen the last of that comedy team. What brought them?
I informed Constable Evans on the telephone that the person I alluded to was in the castle. You will recall my telling you that I believed he was a criminal and an impostor.
I remember you did gibber along the lines you mentioned, but I thought I'd reasoned you out of the silly idea.
I have returned to it, sir.
Well, you're wrong, of course. The constables are going to blush hotly when they see what asses they've made of themselves. But if they want Whipple, they'll find him down at the lake. He went to have a swim before dinner.
Thank you, Mr. Galahad. I will go and inform the officers.
Oh, but Gally, the lake's at the other end of the grounds.
I'm sorry, Sandy, that you've had to hear me spinning a yarn again. It'll do for now, but if Sam's going to go on being a guest at the castle, I may have to come clean with Beach and ask him to call off the chase. A discreet couple of tenors should do the trick.
Oh, but Gally, that'll be bribery and corruption.
Yes, and the thought of it has made me thirsty again. I must get myself another bracer from the drawing room. Let me know how Sam gets on with Huxley.
When Galahad arrived back in the drawing room, he was surprised to find his sister Hermione there.
Ah, Galahad! I was hoping to see you. I've just been on the telephone to Veronica in London.
Have you?
You know that letter of hers to Tipton that you intercepted?
The one that you dictated to Veronica?
Only because that idiot Clarence told us that Tipton had been wiped out in an American stock exchange crash.
And Clarence had got it all wrong.
Well, as you probably know, Tipton did get the letter, though you tried to hide it away.
And he rang Veronica?
Who explained that it had all been Clarence's idiocy, and Tipton was to come up to London and they'd get married at a register office. I'm delighted. So is Veronica. So, of course, is Tipton. He should be on his way to London now.
So you'll have to go without your huge county wedding. No bishops, no presents, no detectives, and no Clarence in a topper and stiff collar making a speech. But you will still have your multi-millionaire son-in-law, complete with Rolls Royce and tickets for a honeymoon on the Riviera.
That's as may be. But you realize, Galahad, Tipton has had the letter. This means there's no need to carry on with this charade of my accepting your friend Bagshot as Augustus Whipple, or as a guest at the castle.
Yes, that had occurred to me.
I shall tell Beach to get your friend's bags packed, and I shall have him out by the first train, and Miss Callender can go too. She's been very sly about all this, and Clarence has not been happy with her as a secretary. Where will I find her and Bagshot now?
Probably together in that little room off the library where she works.
I shall go there now and give her notice.
I'll come with you.
No, I can do this alone.
You wouldn't like to have me as a bodyguard?
No. Why?
Because Sam Webster is apt to plug people in the eye.
I don't think I shall be in danger.
Have it your own way. But be on the alert. Watch his knees. They'll tell you when he's setting himself for the swing. Keep your guard up. And remember to roll with the punch.
Thank you.
Galahad hurried downstairs to find his brother. He needed to be there with his version of the story when Hermione stormed in, as storm in she would. But his brother clearly had other worries on his mind.
Good heavens, Clarence, you look like a devastated area. What's been happening?
Galahad, you couldn't have come at a better moment. Dame Daphne has just left. We have been having words, angry words.
Oh, that's good news. What about?
That boy of hers, I forget his name.
Try Huxley.
Yes. It seems he's been up to his old tricks, going to the Empress's sty, hoping to let her out into the paddocks. And this time the Empress had, very rightly, caught him by the finger and bitten it. He had come howling to his mother. She has put him to bed and asked Beats to ring the doctor.
And then she came to you?
To demand that I have the Empress put down. A dangerous animal, she said, and I was to have her destroyed.
And you very properly said nuts to you, Daff. Or worse to that effect.
I did indeed.
Good.
But she said she would take the boy, if the doctor says he can travel, and leave the castle forever.
Clarence, I'm proud of you.
I have no sympathy for her, or the boy. My anxiety was for the Empress.
Oh, naturally.
When she told me that Huxley had been bitten, I immediately rang for Beach and asked him to telephone the vet to come and see if the Empress might have taken some harm or poison from the bite.
You said that to Beach while the dame was still with you?
Yes, of course. And she became even more furious, and I'm afraid I became even more rude. Oh, dear.
But, Clarence, everything has turned out roses.
Yes, but...
You have been in deadly peril from this woman. She'd been hoping that you'd make her your second wife, Countess of Emsworth, and Hermione was backing her.
Good God.
Now you've removed her from your life. The dreaded Huxley, too. If you'd married the dame, you'd have been landed with that horrible child as your stepson.
Bless my soul, I never thought of that. But what about Hermione now?
What about her?
She'll have something to say about it. Dame Daphne was staying here as her friend.
You can expect Hermione any moment now. And, Clarence, you will show the same splendid firmness to your sister as to your would-be second wife. Who's Hermione? A woman you have often seen spanked by a nanny with a hairbrush. Remind her of that and watch her wilt.
Clarence! Oh, I wanted to see you alone. Can't we do without Galahad?
No, I'd prefer him to stay.
Don't mind me, Hermione, don't mind me.
Well, if you insist. Clarence, two things. I've just been talking to Daphne, and she tells me you've been grossly rude to her.
Well, what did she expect? Coming in?
Flouncing in?
Yes, flouncing in, telling me I must have the Empress destroyed, just because she bit that beastly little boy.
It was the boy who started it.
Exactly. He was trying to let the Empress out of her sty. And goodness knows what might have happened if he had succeeded.
Really?
The paddock is full of holes and ditches. She might have broken a leg.
Two legs?
Yes, two legs. Apart from the nervous strain, the least thing upsets her, makes her refuse her food. Might have been days before she would have taken her proper meals again. If she does not consume daily nourishment amounting to 5,700 calories, these consist of proteins, 4 pounds, 5 ounces, carbohydrates, 25 pounds...
Clarence!
Yes, my dear?
Will you stop babbling about that insufferable pig of yours? I did not come here to talk about pigs. You must apologize to Daphne.
I'm blowed if I apologize to her or anybody else.
Well spoken, Clarence. The right spirit. It's men like you who've made England what it is.
I don't want your opinion, Galahad.
I can applaud, can't I?
No.
Well, I shall. As I did, I remember, when I saw you being spanked by our mutual nanny with a hairbrush.
You needn't bring that up, Galahad. Clarence, Daphne says that unless you apologize, she will leave the castle.
She must suit herself about that.
If Daphne leaves, I leave. Now, for the last time, will you apologize to Daphne and have the Empress destroyed?
Of course I won't.
Then I shall take the first train to London tomorrow.
That's a 7:33, isn't it?
But before I go, point number two. Let me tell you of the amusing little practical joke Galahad has been playing on you.
Eh? What?
The man he's passed off on you as Augustus Whipple is not Augustus Whipple at all.
What?
He's some loathsome friend of Galahad's whom he sneaked into the castle for some purpose of his own.
Galahad,
Clarence, you were superb. A colossal feat. We tip our hats respectfully to the man who could look Dame Daphne Winkworth in the eyeball and make her wilt. But when immediately afterwards he crushes Hermione and sends her too flouncing off, words fail us. We recognize him as a hero and a daredevil, the like of whom one seldom sees.
Galahad?
You were going to say something. Was it about that absurd charge of Hermione's?
Yes.
Ah, yes. Well, you are wondering, perhaps, whether there is any truth in it. My dear fellow, need you ask? I explained it to Hermione, but she wouldn't listen. She's right in one detail, though.
Hmm?
The Augustus Whipple, who is your guest at the castle now, is not the Augustus Whipple who wrote that great book about pigs.
Not?
I did practice a slight deception there, but for a good purpose, and it's turned out even better than I'd hoped. His real name is Bagshot. Sam Bagshot. Son of my old friend Boko Bagshot of the Pelican Club. You may remember him.
No, I can't say I remember any Boko Bagshot.
Ah, well, this son, Sam, has been in love with young Sandy Callender. The secretary, Hermione, imposed on you when you weren't looking.
Galahad, I'm losing my way in the story. What has it got to do with Augustus Whipple? You remember I sent him that telegram inviting him to stay here, and you took it to the post office for me.
Yes, but I didn't send it off, because I happened to know that Gus Whipple was abroad. That's why you've had no answer from him yet. So I took the liberty of saddling Sam Bagshot with the Whipple identity in order that he should come to the castle to make it up with Sandy.
Couldn't you have asked him simply as your guest?
With Hermione in charge? She would have vetoed any guest of mine staying here. She thinks all my friends are bookmakers or crooks.
Yes. Galahad, you should have asked me. I'd have agreed.
Yes, I know, I'm sorry. But it has produced a very fine result. Do you know who rescued the Empress from that horrible little wart Huxley this afternoon? Sam Bagshot. Your girl Monica had gone to the dentist in Blanding's Parlour. It's lucky she wasn't there when Huxley sneaked up to release your pig. Monica wouldn't have had the quickness of mind Sam showed when he separated Huxley and the Empress. He tells me it was touch and go. Huxley might have put his finger into the Empress's eye.
Oh.
And she might have savaged him, or rolled on him.
Yes, she's very heavy, wonderfully heavy.
And he might have let her out into the paddock. A leg broken, two legs.
Three, perhaps, all those potholes.
But without a moment's hesitation, Sam got Huxley by the seat of his shorts and heaved him away before the angry Empress could do him any real damage. So you really have Sam Bagshot to thank.
God bless my soul, I have indeed. How can I repay him?
You realize what he's done for you. He saved the Empress from that loathsome boy. And the nip she very rightly gave him has removed him and his mother out of the castle and your life forever. The same for our sister Hermione. Tomorrow she'll have gone with the wind. And you realize the significance of Veronica and Tipton getting married at a registry office tomorrow?
No, what?
You won't have to wear a top hat to make a speech at their wedding reception here at the castle.
No, I won't. Yes, that's good news.
Then there's young Sandy Callender. She comes into this. You don't want her. You don't want a secretary at all. But you know you'd hate the process of sacking a girl who, after all, would be doing just what Hermione told her to do.
Hermione had no right.
Well, now Sandy's going of her own accord. You have Sam Bagshot to thank for that, too.
How do you mean?
Because he and Sandy are going to get married.
Really? I must congratulate them. Remind me.
Yes, I will. But you remember you asked me how you could repay Sam? Well, there is something you can do for him and Sandy.
Yes? Tell me what. I'd like to help them.
They need a loan of £2,500.
Sam has inherited a large country house, which needs that amount for repairs before he can sell it to a man who's waiting to buy. Would you consider it? A loan, mark you.
A loan of £2,500?
Repayable as soon as the sale of the house has gone through.
And if I lend that to your friend Bagshot, you say I won't have a secretary anymore? My checkbook is there in the drawer. Can you hand it to me?
Capital, capital. Make it out to Samuel Bagshot, Esquire. 2 teas. And while you're doing that, I'm going to bring the lovers down to say thank you.
No, no, there's no need for that, please.
Oh, come on, Clarence, be a man. You faced Dame Daphne, you faced Hermione. Surely you can face a man and a girl who only want to say thank you. There. I've rung the bell for Beach. A bottle of champagne and 4 glasses, don't you think, Clarence? To drink to the young couple?
Galahad. Oh, dear, Galahad is always so impetuous.
Galahad walked slowly upstairs to fetch Sandy and Sam. He wanted to be sure that Hermione had been and gone. So it was some minutes later that he returned to his brother with the grateful couple.
Clarence, Sam and young Sandy have something to say to you. They want to thank you.
Oh?
For the check that you're going to give Sam. I told them of your generosity.
Eh?
What can I say, sir? I know it's a loan, but we shall be in your debt long after I've paid back the money.
Oh, Lord Emsworth, we can't tell you how grateful we are.
No, no need for that. My brother has told me. I hope you'll be very, very happy. Well, if that's all, I'm expecting the vet.
The cheque, Clarence, the cheque.
Cheque? What cheque? Oh, yes, I remember now. For repairs to your house. Yes, here it is, Mr...
Sam Bagshot, Clarence.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bagshot, for rescuing the Empress from that horrible little boy. I forget his name.
Huxley, Clarence.
Lord Emsworth, I'm sorry if I upset you by my tidying, my nosiness, and by making you answer your letters. But that's what your sister had told me was my job.
Sandy, you must understand, my brother hates having secretaries at all. Worst of all, zealous ones. If he has to have one, he'd choose one that breakfasted in bed, dozed in an armchair all through the morning, played golf in the afternoon, and took the rest of the day off.
Lady Hermione didn't tell me that.
And I'm sorry about the Whipple impersonation, sir. But it did enable me to meet Sandy here on her own ground, so to speak. And make up for having called her a ginger-haired little fathead.
And, Clarence, the real Augustus Whipple will be here any day now. I've just heard he's back from abroad. Gus Whipple knows the market, and he'll help you find a new pig to replace Monica Simmons.
Splendid, splendid. As to you two young people, please make yourselves at home. Oh. And I hope you'll be very, very... Oh, I think I said that.
Yeah. Well, what are we waiting for? It's time we toasted the happy couple, or the Empress, or ourselves, or Whipple, or someone. I'll show you, Sam, how to open a champagne bottle with one hand behind my back. Ah, it's something I learned at the old Pelican Club. Here we go. Easy does it.
Oh, hooray!
Well done, Galley.
And Galley, now that I'm no longer your brother's secretary, do you think he'd mind if I kissed him?
Oh, no, please.
Oh, come on, Clarence.
Thank you, my dear. I'm sure the vet must have gone direct to the Empress's star. I must go and join them.
Good night, sir.
Good night, Lord Emsworth.
Good night.
Good night, Clarence. And now a toast. Let's drink to all happy couples. Especially Clarence and his pig.
In episode 4 of Galahad of Blandings by P.G. Woodhouse, Lord Emsworth was played by Richard Vernon and the Honourable Galahad Threepwood by Ian Carmichael. Lady Hermione was Elizabeth Spriggs, Egberton Beach Harold Innocent, Sam Simon Treves, Sandy Susanna Fellows, and Tipton Alan Marriott. The narrator was Murray Watson. Galahad of Blandings was adapted for radio by Richard Osborne, and the producer was Gareth Edwards.